Hi, from the Salvation Army, you're listening to Words of Life.
Welcome back to Words of Life. Last week, we started a new series with our friend Natalie Runyon. And this series is based on a six-week discipleship course for women that she developed.
But before we get to this week's episode, Chris, tell us about this new idea you've got.
Yeah, and so following this series that's focused on women and discipling women, we're going to have a Father's Roundtable discussion series. And we want to hear from our listeners. We want to hear if you're a father and you have any words of wisdom or advice that you'd like to share, or some topics or questions that you would like the group to address, we would love to hear from you.
I think the goal with all of our shows is that the content that we produce speaks to our listeners, you know, that it's something that they find value in, that they resonate with, that they either encourage them or maybe challenge them in a certain way. So this is just a great opportunity for you, the listeners, to submit those questions and hear the topics that you want to talk about.
Yeah, for sure. So send us an email, hello@wordsoflifepodcast.org, or give us a call, 1-800-229-9965. So in this episode, Natalie is going to be talking about women and leadership. And the conversation that I had with her before we recorded this episode was, I grew up going to a Lutheran church in Philadelphia, and the senior pastor there at the time, who really inspired me and helped shape my faith as a young Christian, was a woman. And I never thought anything of it until I got older and realized all of the hoops that women still have to jump through to get into leadership positions, even sometimes within the church.
Natalie does such a great job of setting this one up, and you know, she reminds us that Jesus himself cherished women. He really valued their role and ability to help advance the kingdom of God.
Let's be collaborators, not in competition. Let's celebrate when one sister wins. Their win isn't our loss. Let's be each other's keeper.
Welcome back to Words of Life. I am so glad that you've joined us. This is a ministry of the Salvation Army, and through that, we have been able to meet so many people around the world that are doing things to draw people to Jesus. This week, we've got a friend back who we met last year, Natalie Runyon from Raised to Stay. Say hello to our listeners, Natalie.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be back.
Now, Natalie's done a really cool discipleship course that takes place over 6 weeks. And we've been trying to encourage people to check her out on Facebook or Instagram. Particularly Raised to Stay is where you will find her. And what I'd love to do is just talk about this week's topic, women and leadership. Natalie, let's talk about it.
Yeah, you know, with this discipleship group, I decided for this specific one for it to be all women. And primarily because I know that women will talk more openly when there's not men in the room, and women have unique challenges, unique situations, being wives, mothers, single women, whatever their situation is. And especially in ministry, women have a unique role in the church that is valuable, but also different than our male counterparts. And so to bring in my sisters who are serving in the local church, either on staff or as volunteers, and to hammer out some of the challenges and also celebrate some of the good things that are happening, we spent 6 weeks diving into the Word, talking about our experiences, and really just encouraging each other.
So it's fun for me to just interact about this topic in particular, because the Salvation Army, born out of the Methodist Church so many years ago, is set up in this pseudo-military way. And even 100 years ago, the founder of the Salvation Army would say something like, some of my best men are women. Because he empowered women to go into the world and bring people to Jesus. There were 7 women that came to the United States initially to set up the Salvation Army's work, starting in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And now we're serving in literally every zip code around the United States. That's fascinating to me. But talk to me about some of the misconceptions.
Well, you know, first of all, Catherine Booth is one of my heroes. You know, I can read some of her quotes and just be so empowered. And she was one of the founders of the Salvation Army. And so for me, I love organizations and ministries that had strong women in their positions. Now, some of the misconceptions do come even when I say strong women. You know, if a man is strong, he's heroic and he's powerful and he's a leader and he's authoritative. But when a woman is strong, it can oftentimes be translated as dramatic or divisive or gossipy or, you know, controlling. And what we want for women to do is to step into their authority with their personality that God has given them without trying to be more like a man or even dumb down a little bit to appear not as controlling or as strong to meet stereotypes. And what we want is for women to be authentically who God created them to be, speaking things to the strength that they feel it without having to apologize for being too much or too strong.
You mentioned Catherine Booth. The Salvation Army has had three international leaders who were women. So we definitely think that there's something to that. I don't care who you are. If God has given you the platform and the opportunity, do it. Do it wholeheartedly. Put both feet in and go at it. Do barriers still exist for women?
Absolutely. I think that women are always going to have a few different barriers than men would have. And we are created to be women. So God has equipped us to be able to handle some of the unique challenges that come our way. I believe that the early church, we see in Acts 1, 12 through 14, that the early church had women in the room as the Holy Spirit fell and began to just move among that group. It wasn't all men, it was women included. It says that in the Message version, that those in the upper room, and they name all the disciples, and then it says, Mary, Jesus's mother, the women included. There were women in that upper room. And then we hear Peter begin to prophesy from the prophet Joel in Acts chapter 2, where he says that in the last days that I will pour my spirit upon my sons and my daughters, and that they will begin to prophesy my sons and my daughters. And so the good news is that even though we have all of these barriers, the Holy Spirit has given us authority to prophesy, to teach, to speak, and to be part of the church that is today. So there are barriers, but I see us breaking through some of those stained glass ceilings to get to a place where we can walk in humility and love as the women God has created us to be.
When you think about something like that, women being in the room, even as far back as the upper room, why would you think they've been held back then in so many cases?
It's always about what I believe to be kind of like the limit. Like, you can be in the room, but you can't speak. You can teach, but not to men. You can have a voice, but not a vote. There's always been these buts or maybes or unless. And while I believe in order and I do believe in this beautiful leadership of men in my life, my husband is the head of my household other than God. And in churches, I love male leadership. I feel like there is such a compliment when men and women serve together.
Amen.
I just think that what's happening now is women are also fighting this feminism movement as well that makes it appear as if any woman who steps up and says, hey, I'd like to lead, now they're being clumped in with this, you know, all men are bad, or, you know, we're trying to fight for equality at the cost of submission to men. And that's not what's happening. What we're wanting to do is partner with our brothers, partner with our husbands, partner with our pastors, and complement what God is doing in their ministries, not try to take over or try to usurp any type of authority. So that's something that I think is always going to be in the back of our minds is, if I lead strong, does it look like I don't have honor for my brothers, or I don't love my brothers? And so we just have to walk that balance.
Sure. How can we then encourage and support women around us to boldly step into the roles that they've been called to?
I mean, Jesus championed women. Amen. Jesus loved women. There were women throughout all of the book of Acts that used their gifts to help carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got Lydia, who was a Fortune 500 woman, who was doing her thing. We have so many women who are gifted, just like in the book of Acts, where they had a mission. We have Aquila and Priscilla, where Priscilla ended up joining Paul's mission for a time. And we think she was preaching and teaching. We don't really know. We just know she was part of Paul's mission. But so many women used what they had. John Mark's mom, Mary, opening her home to the original church. So many women had gifts that the Lord was able to use to further his mission and message. And that's what we should be encouraging women to do, whether they're stay-at-home moms, whether they're teachers, nurses, if they're in the church, outside of the church, to to authentically use what God has given them to carry the message of Jesus Christ unapologetically and cheering them on with every step of the way, not trying to create more barriers for them to have to hurdle to do what God has called them to do.
And I think this would be a good time for a call to prayer, prayer for women, prayer for people that would empower women, people that would come together and join in asking for protection over the minds and hearts of women that are seeking God's call in their life. If you're not sure what to do, there's at least a couple steps that you can consider for sure. Now, Natalie, what would you say to a woman who feels called into a leadership role, but feels like they're fighting an uphill battle to be heard?
Well, first of all, go where you're celebrated, not tolerated.
Okay.
You know, it's something where we are in America and there are churches on every corner of every city. And if one church won't champion and celebrate you, another one will. Mm. And so go where there are women in leadership. Go where you see on the staff leader, you know, leadership part of the website. Look for women. Look for women doing what you want to do. Follow these women on social media. Watch how they're using their gifts and don't imitate it, but be encouraged by it and championed. Also, women, start championing each other. Amen. We teach men how to treat us by how we treat one another. And so let's be collaborators, not in competition. Let's celebrate when one sister wins. Their win isn't our loss. And let's be each other's keeper and be the friend that we all want. And I believe as we see that, we'll see revival raise up in our daughters as well as they watch us model that.
Amen. Now, last week we talked about discipleship just as a theme. And I think this is an important thing if you're someone who's looking for opportunities to maybe consider finding someone to disciple you, someone that you trust, someone who's in ministry, someone who's doing, as Natalie pointed out, what you want to do. That could be a wonderful mentorship in a sense.
Absolutely. And mentorship doesn't have to come with like this avatar of this like ideal woman.
Yeah.
It could be someone that you just love the way that they mother. You love the way that they submit to their husband in a godly manner, but also have freedom to pursue the ministries and things that God has asked them to do. You find someone and you say, that's where I want to be in 10 years. That's who I want to look like in 10 years. And it can be awkward. Like you're asking somebody on a date, you know, to go up to a woman at your church or in your small group and say, hey, I was wondering if you had capacity to mentor me. And, you know, it could be for 3 weeks. It could be for 3 months. It could be for 3 years.
Yeah.
But mentorship is a beautiful opportunity to then pursue discipleship, where mentorship is more one-on-one. I'm going to help you through seasons. Discipleship is then, what is Jesus speaking into your season? And how can we follow Jesus? And how can we be more like Jesus? And then that is how we multiply and begin to look for those that we then can mentor and disciple.
Amen. Thank you for that, Natalie. This is a great subject. We've got more to go. If you haven't heard the first episode with Natalie this year, go check out our podcast last week. And then we hope that you'll come back and join us next week too, because Natalie's got more to share about Raised to Stay, about this discipleship course. And I think there might be an announcement somewhere in the next few weeks that you'll want to be interested in. God bless you. The Salvation Army's mission, doing the most good, means helping people with material and spiritual needs. You become a part of this mission every time you give to the Salvation Army. Visit SalvationArmyUSA.org to offer your support. You can subscribe to Words of Life on your favorite podcast store or visit SalvationArmySoundcast.org. Join us next time for the Salvation Army's Words of Life.